I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for the Word of God, for the church, and the privilege we have tonight to be here. Amen. What a blessed, blessed reality it is to know that your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible tonight, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms one more time. Turn with me to the book of Psalms and chapter number 34. Psalms and chapter number 34. And when you find that place in your Bible, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 34. And we'll read our text together tonight. I want to read all 22 verses of this psalm, because I'm going to be using several different verses throughout it, and using the situation behind it, the reason the psalm was written, and trying to bring a message that the Lord laid on my heart on yesterday. Let's read together. In verse number 1, the Bible said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Then they looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord will not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his saints, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's bow our heads together and pray and ask God's divine guidance. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the Word of God, and for the Spirit of truth, Lord, that has brought us to this place. And I do pray for divine guidance tonight as we seek Your face for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for power. I pray for liberty in this place. Lord, help me tonight, I pray, to just lift up the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help me, Lord, to be an encouragement to Thy people. I do pray that You'll save sinners, and God, that You'll touch every heart that's here. I pray that You'd heal sick folk. I pray, God, that You'd resurrect the lost. I pray that You'd give grace to those that are in afflictions and trials. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to humbly submit ourselves to Thy will tonight, that it may be done in every heart and home, and we'll glorify You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As our text verse tonight, I want to read verse number 7. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The word delivered or delivereth is used at least four times in these 22 verses. And the word saved or saveth is used twice, basically meaning the same thing. And that is to deliver. And I want to take these verses and the background of this psalm tonight, if the Lord will help me, and preach for a little while on this thought when we come to the end of our rope. I've heard that statement all of my life. I'm just about at the end of my rope. I wonder what you'll do tonight when you come to the end of your rope. That's a question that is worth contemplating. I've heard my mother say a number of times, I'm at my wit's end. I've heard my mama say the very statement that I'm preaching to you on tonight, I've just about come to the end of my rope. That is, there she can go no farther with a particular situation that is in her life. I think the saying probably came from the fact of someone or maybe even such a thing as an animal being tied, a dog maybe by a collar. And that dog comes to the end of that chain, he cannot go any further. And I want to try for just a little while to preach tonight on that thought, if God will help me when I come to the end of my rope. What are you going to do tonight when you come to the end of your rope? When there's no other place to go, no other place to run to, there's no place to hide. As Brother Shelby testified, there's not any man that cares for your soul and nobody that loves you but the Lord, then what are you going to do? What am I going to do tonight when I've gone as far as I can go and I absolutely cannot go any further? When I dealt with a particular situation as long as I can and there's nothing left for me to do, I'm at the end of my rope, now what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do tonight when you come to the end of your rope? The occasion in David's life that this psalm is written after is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verses 10 through 15. The shepherd boy, that sweet psalmist of Israel, became the champion of Israel after his victory over Goliath, is now fleeing for his life. There is only one step between him and death. David said that himself to Jonathan. He said, there is just one step between me and death. And he that stepped out into the valley of Elah and fought with Goliath and won a victory and put the Philistines to rout and brought joy and happiness to the hearts of Israel is now fleeing for his own life, and he says, testifies to the fact that there is only one step between him and death, because King Saul and the armies of Israel are pursuing hot after him. A jealous man by the name of Saul is pursuing David and is after him, not to decorate him, because of his victory in battle. He's not going to hang a medal of honor on that great man of God. He's not going to decorate him for being a combat veteran and standing up for the cause of Christ in the nation of Israel. He is jealous of what David did, and he's there to take his life from him because he's afraid that God may do exactly what God wound up doing, and that is exalt David to the throne over all the nation of Israel. And David is here fleeing for his own life and being pursued by King Saul. In the fear of this, David flees to King Achish, who is in the land of Gath. And this is one of the lords of the Philistines who David had earlier fought against in the valley of Elah. Can you imagine a man that is so fearful for his own life that he is fleeing to that very man that he once fought against in the valley of Elah? I'll tell you, that is almost beyond my comprehension. But I want to say to you, my friend, that when fear, I'm talking about real fear, grips our soul, it remains to be seen what most of us would do in a situation like that. I'll tell you, our instinct is to run from the one that's pursuing us and not to pay much attention really to where we're going or what direction we're headed in, except that we've got to get away from this particular situation in my life that is about to take what life in me I have left. And so he flees into the land of Gath, to the house or to the castle really of Achish or Ahimelech, Abimelech, as the Bible says. The servants now of Achish recognize David. And because of fear and frustration, David fiends himself as a madman and allows the very spit out of his mouth to run down upon his beard until the servants of Achish and the king himself honestly believe that David is a madman. And the servants say, is not this the man that they sang about in Israel that Saul had slain his thousands, and this man his tens of thousands, and now here he is brought down to no more than a madman with spittle running off of his beard. And I'm sure that David was there not only out of fear, but David was there out of frustration. He is about to get frustrated in life, and he's about to come to the very end of his rope, and he does not really know how to deal with what's taking place in his life. Amen. I want to ask you something tonight. Do you really know how to deal with what's taking place in your life? Are you not, is there not something a fearful developed in your life, and it's caused you to run from, flee from that fear because of that fear, and now you've come to a place that you're not only fearful, but you're frustrated, and your life has just about come to the end of its rope. Let me ask you, friend, what will you do when you come to the end of your rope? And there's no place else for you to run to. So those servants recognize David. He fiends himself as a madman. And now he's not only full of fear, but he's frustrated. He's driven out from his land by Saul. He runs to the king of Gath, and he finds no safe haven of refuge there. And so David turns himself and flees into the wilderness. I want to say that Achish there, that he believing that David could be of no use to him whatsoever, he drives him from his presence and asks his servant, shall a madman come into my house? What will I have to do with this man? And I'm satisfied that David, now that his frustrations are growing and his fear is even growing, and now David has come to a place in his life that he does not know who to turn to or where to turn. He has come to the very end of his rope, my friend, in dealing with this situation. I'm sure that did even enter David's mind. How can this be happening to me? I'm the one that fought the battles. I'm the one that wrought the victory. I'm the one that they sang songs about. I've been in the king's palace. I've been the one that sat at the table with the king. And now it's the king that is in pursuit of me. And because of fear, I've fled into the land of my enemies. And even my enemies don't want anything to do with me. And I'm sure that frustration overwhelmed the heart of David. What am I going to do, he said. And David here, when he's driven from the presence of Achish, he flees to the cave of Adullam. And it's there in that cave, after this man, who is a man after God's own heart, comes to the very end of his rope, that the Lord gives him the words of this psalm and deliverance to his own heart. Isn't that an amazing thing? David there in that cave has come to the end of his rope. His heart is full of fear. His life is frustrated, but it's there in that cave that God speaks to the heart of David and said, David, you don't have to fear your enemies. You better fear God. And David, the God that you serve and love, He is able to save you from your enemies. He is able to deliver you from your fear. He is able to deliver you from your frustration. The God that you serve, David, is able under every situation to deliver you from the problems of life that you're in. Now, is everybody with me? When David come to the end of his rope is when God helped him. And most people will not turn to God until they're brought to the end of their rope. I've been preaching this over and over and over again. But I'm telling you, so often in our own life, we want to work it out for ourselves. We want to try everything but God. And so often God lets us come to a place that we're at the end of our rope through fear and frustration, and our foes are hot on our heels. But it's there in that place that God will come to us and deliver us from our fears and our frustration. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. I never learned this until this morning. I sat in that little old chair that Miss Ruth and the children bought me for my birthday this morning, and when I learned this great truth, man, I'll tell you, God broke my heart, and tears run down my face. I couldn't hardly control myself. You listen carefully, and I'll try to give you the real crux of the matter tonight. The Lord delivers David's heart, but not the situation. Did you get a hold of that? God delivered David's heart, but not the situation that David was involved in. I'm going to tell you what our problem is. It's so often that we're not concerned about God changing our heart. We're not concerned about God delivering our heart. We want God to deliver us from the situation that has surrounded us. But God doesn't deliver situations. He delivers hearts of people, and people change the situation that they're involved in. You get a hold of that? I don't know what you feel, but I feel God in my soul right now, friend. You listen carefully. The Lord delivers the heart, not the situation. So often we want the Lord to deliver by removing the problem. But the Lord wants us to overcome the problem in our hearts. Then the situation that surrounds that problem will be changed. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't understand what you're saying." Let me illustrate it to you this way. For example, up to this point in David's life, David was fearful of Israel. He feared Saul, and he feared King Achish. He feared his other foes. David is now frustrated he's frustrated in his feeling from his enemies. But when the Lord sent deliverance in the heart of David, or sent deliverance, the heart of David was changed. The enemies remained the same. And David, oh yes, Saul was still alive. And Achish was still alive. And the foes of David were still alive. But David is a blessing and a praising God, because God delivered him, not in the situation, but in his heart is where David found that wonderful deliverance. When he was saying, "God delivered me from all my fears, and God delivered me from all my afflictions, and God delivered me from all my troubles, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." He still had Saul was yet alive in the land. In fact, after this instance here, David twice could have taken Saul's life, but he spared his own life. David no longer was afraid of Saul. Why? Because God had delivered David in the heart. Hallelujah to God. He wasn't afraid of the king of Gath, for it was a king of Gath that he went back to and lived there and was spared from fighting against his own people while he lived there. I want to ask you something tonight. What are you going to do when you come to the end of the rope? Maybe it's time that you quit praying that God would change your situation and pray, "God, change my heart." Maybe it's time you quit worrying about to get change in your problems and let God change your heart and enable you to deal with the problems that you have. Oh, thank God, friend, for the overcoming
power of the Holy Ghost of God, that when we come to the end of a rope and our problems are about to drive us crazy and we're scared to death of the enemy around us and we're stricken with fear and have no place to turn, it is there in our heart at that time that God Almighty delivers His people. What are you going to do when you come to the end of your rope? Huh? I'd say some of you in here tonight are just about to be there. Can't take much more, preacher. Well, you're in good shape for help. Can't go any further, preacher. You're in good shape for help. You're a good candidate for deliverance tonight then. What are you going to do when you come to the end of the rope? Are you listening to me? After deliverance, David spares Saul's life twice. He lives in Ziklag in the land of Gath. He is even providentially spared from fighting against Israel. Now I want to make application using these verses and show you what the Lord can deliver us from when we come to the end of our rope. I've told you the story, but the story is just Bible. The application is where the rubber meets the road. If God done it for David, will God do it for me? If God delivered David, will God deliver me? If God delivered David from fear, if God delivered David from frustrations, if God delivered David from his foes, if God delivered David from his feebleness of life, will God deliver me when I come to the end of a rope? I'll tell you that God is no respecter of persons, my friend, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God has done for those in the Bible, God will do for you and I today. What are you going to do when you come to the end of your rope? Some of you are there. And if God don't deliver you, you're hung. That's the alternative, friend. That's the alternative of God's deliverance when you come to the end of the rope. If He ain't there to cut the rope, you hang yourself. Can you get a hold of that tonight now? How'd you like to swing from a noose 50 gallons high, 50 cubits high, friend? Are you listening to me? Whoa! And that's the thought that I'm preaching on tonight. Some of you are standing on the gallows, friend, and that man that operates those gallows are ready to trip the lever that will let you fall to your death. But I'll tell you, I'm glad that our God's got a great pair of scissors or a sharp two-edged sword, that when we come to the end of that rope, that sword can cut the rope and God can deliver us from our troubles. Are you listening tonight? What are you going to do when you come to the end of your rope? I want to say, number one, that He will deliver us from our fears. Look in verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from what? Underline that little Hebrew word, all. That means all, in Hebrew, Greek, or English. From all my fears. David said, from Saul, no fear no more. From the king of Gath, I'm no longer afraid of him either. From the enemies in Israel, I'm no longer afraid of them. I'm telling you, my friend, that every child of God has got something or somebody that they're afraid of or fear. And buddy, I'll tell you, only God can deliver you from that fear in your life. Are you listening to me? Now look here, He'll deliver us from our fears. In doing that, notice, if you would please, what the Bible said in verse 5. It's verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Now, He wasn't delivered by just idly standing by. But David sought the Lord in a matter of prayer. And in a matter of prayer, through prayer, he said, God heard me. When David got into that cave of Adullam, frustrated and afraid and running from his enemies, the best thing he knew to do was fall on his face before God and cry out to God. In verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Praise God, I'm telling you, God, here's an answer's prayer, ladies and gentlemen. That is right. When you get the noose tight enough around your neck, you learn to pray. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm not much of a prayer warrior. I'm not either, but I certainly know how to cry, help! Peter said, help, Lord, I sink! I'm going to say he didn't care how flowery his little prayer may have sounded to anybody else. He wasn't trying to get the attention of the pastor. He wasn't trying to impress those around him by how beautiful of a prayer he made. He was concerned in being delivered. This poor man cried. He didn't care. Hey, he was in a cave with 600 men, chosen men, like Abishai and Joab and others at his side. I'm talking about champions. Men that would take off the head of a lion. Men that could break through the enemy's lines and bring water out of the well of Bethlehem. And David wasn't ashamed in the presence of those great men to humble himself and cry out for help from Almighty God. Are you listening to me? Now he sought the Lord by prayer. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now I want to ask you tonight, we're getting ready to make some applications here. What do you fear tonight? Well, somebody said, Brother Hall, I really don't fear anything. Liar, liar, pants is on fire. Your nose is longer than a telephone wire, buddy. What are you afraid of? What are you running from? What's got you in the cave? What's brought you to the end of your rope? But what's brought you to a place in your life when you can't go any further unless you have reprieve? Unless deliverance comes, unless help comes, you've gone as far as you can go. What is it in your life? What do you fear tonight? Maybe some of you in here fear failing in your responsibilities. Responsibilities as a husband. Responsibilities as a wife. I'm just not a very good husband. I don't know how to show love and I don't know how to show affection. I'm not a very good husband to my wife. I'm not a good daddy to my children. I'm going to tell you, friend, that God is able to deliver you from that fear.
Yeah.
Amen. Are you listening to me? That's right. God can take. God can take Frosty the Snowman and make Rudolph Valentino out of it. You'll catch that in after a while. Some of you boys, it's a little slow. Do you fear failing your wife? How about it, husband? Do you fear failing your wife? Wife, do you fear failing your husband? I'm not the wife I ought to be. My house is not in order like it ought to be, and the children are not disciplined as they ought to be, and I'm not the cook that his mother was. Well, you're not a cooking for his mother. Bless your heart. You're a cooking for him. And you ought to eat it, sir, and shut up about it.
Yeah.
You couldn't eat any worse than I ate when my wife and I got married.
Go ahead now.
What do you fear tonight? Failing in your responsibilities as a husband? Failing in your responsibilities as a wife? Are you listening? Well, Brother Hall, you just don't understand. I'm just not very wifey. Well, I'm going to tell you, he can make you wifey. That's right. He can fill your heart full of love for that man. They say the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but I'm going to tell you the best way to a man's heart is through his heart. And if you can win his heart, he'll eat burnt biscuits that are harder than a nail head, buddy, and like it. I don't mean to sound off color, but kiss him with the kisses of your mouth. Show him love. Show him affection. Win his heart. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm mad to the end of the rope. Our home is a mess. Our family's a mess. We're in turmoil. I'm frustrated. I fear and frustrated. And I cannot go any further. God will deliver you.
Amen.
Out of all your fears and troubles.
Yes, sir.
Maybe some of you fears feeling as a mother, a father. Can't raise my children, Brother Hall. I've not disciplined them right. They're grown now and I can't do nothing with them. They wouldn't get too old for me to take a good hickory switch and beat the snot out of them. I don't give a flip how old they are. That is right, and I don't care how big they are. Somebody say, oh, they'll turn on me and whoop me. I'm going to tell you, if they did, and your husband wouldn't handle this, he is a wimp. I ain't one of my kids. That's right. I fail. And Brother Hall, they're older now, and I fear that I've already failed. I fear that I failed God to still deliver you out of that fear. But I'll tell you, God can take situations like David fleeing and frustrated and fearful, you can turn that thing around in your life as well. You've never gone too far that God can't recover all. When those Amalekites invaded Ziklag and burned it with fire and took David's wife and his family, took all that he had and everything else that was there and burned the city, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go on, David, you will surely regain it all. And David recovered every bit of it. Now, I want to say that your family is not so far down that God cannot recover them. God cannot bring them out. God can bring them out. That's right. God can bring them little boys and girls where they ought to be. You think they're too tough for God? Are you listening to me? I had a little girl in my family. I want everybody to listen now. That little girl in my family, she went out of my house wearing clothes and her little belly was hanging out raw and buck naked. She wouldn't go very far out of my house with her belly hanging out. She might go to her bedroom with her buttocks hanging out, but not her belly. That's right. God help us. I'm failing, Brother Hall. In the family, I'm failing. As a husband, I'm failing. As a wife, I'm failing. As a mother, I'm failing. As a daddy, I'm going to tell you, God is able to deliver you from those fears. Some of you may fear failing in your duties to Christ. Brother Hall, you just don't understand. I just can't. Can't what? My Bible said I can.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Hall, I'd never make a Sunday school teacher. Can't, didn't do anything.
Right.
Brother Hall, I just couldn't never preach the gospel. Can't, never done anything.
Right.
Oh, Brother Hall, I could never take a ladies' class or a men's class or a boys' class. Can't, never done anything.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Oh, I'd just fail. I'd be miserable. Do you fear failing? We fear failing. Listen carefully. Because we fear what others will think or say about us. Now, you hear me carefully. Never fails, Brother George, when I preach, whether it's here or whether it's out in a meeting. I'm the kind of preacher that it's just me now. I'm the kind of preacher that I feel like I've got to hit that home run every time I preach. And I've got a fear of failing, not hitting that home run. And every time I go out to preach or preach here, and when I'm finished, if I feel like in my heart that I have failed in bringing that message, I'm going to tell you what I fear. I really honestly, and I'm just telling you my heart, I don't fear God like I ought to, but I fear what people that are there will say and think about me. And you're the same way, and if you deny it, you're a liar. We do care what people, I've heard people say, I don't care what people think about me, buddy. You're a lying devil. You do care.
Amen.
I care what people think about me. I preached at Dr. Simpson in that meeting, and on the Thursday night I preached, I didn't think I felt good at all. I mean, I was down on myself. I felt bad about the message. I was sitting over at the house the other day, and the phone rang. Old Brother Joel Hyde said, "Well, how you doing, brother?" "I'm doing pretty good, Brother Hyde. How are you getting along?" "Well, doing all right." "How was the meeting at Brother Simpson's?" I said, "You backsliding devil, you ought to have been there and found out how it was." I said, "I'm right down the road from you, and you're so cold backsliding, you don't even come down and hear me preach." "Well, brother, I was busy, you know." I remember Brother Hyde go on like that all the time. He said, "Well, Brother John Gray was there." I said, "I know Brother Gray was there." He said, "Well, I asked Brother Gray, how'd the meeting go?" And he said, "Well, it was just all right." And he said, "I asked him, said, who up there on that Thursday you was there, who brought the best message?" And he said, "Well, out of all of them," he said, "Brother Hall brought the best message." And I left there feeling down on me. Not wondering about whether I'd please God, but worrying about what people thought about me. Oh, Brother Hall, if I try to teach the Bible or a Sunday school class and I just cannot get the job done, or Brother Hall, if I'm just not what I ought to be as a husband or a wife, it'll get through the whole church, and if I'm not just right with my children, what will the peers think about me?" Fooey on what the peers think about you. Please God, ladies and gentlemen, and not man. Are you listening to me? We do. We fear what others will think and what others will say about us. I wonder if any of you here tonight fear being unsuccessful in life. I'm just not as successful as somebody else was. I've known men that their brothers have excelled in one place or another, one position or another in life, and they've went on to make X amount of dollars and they're doing well, and they've got brothers that are not doing so well. And that one is not doing so well. He's got a real problem because he wasn't successful in his life. Can I tell you tonight what success in life is? Is number one, it's being saved and knowing
that's right,
God.
That's right.
And number two is loving one another in your family unit and your children. And number three, raising your family up in the nurture and the admonition
right,
of the Lord.
Amen.
And teaching them to serve God.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, anything below that is just below par. It's just vanity. Oh, I want my honey to have a real education. Go on and educate them by worldly standards. And I'm going to tell you what you'll wind up doing. You'll have a worldling on your hands that'll raise hell and cause you more trouble. And Carter's got little liver pills for him. Trouble you can't handle.
Oh, to be successful, I want May to be a businessman. I want my boy to make money. I want my child to do this.
Do you? I want mine to live for God.
Amen. Yes.
I meant what I told Brother Steve about that old deer. He worried himself to death. Brother Hall, I wish I'd have let it win. I wanted you to kill the deer. And he said, I hope you don't feel bad. I said, son, hey. If I ain't no more man about me than that, I ain't much of a man to me, friend. Are you listening to me? You're the pastor and you ought to kill the deer. Well, I'm not big guana. Don't claim to be guana. Son, I ain't killed one that year. Left more wounded out of business than I've done anything else. They've ragged me to death about it. I don't give a flip. I crawl up my tree and shoot another. Hallelujah. Freeze my toes to the frost bit and go back and try it again the next time.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about, hey, I don't have to be successful like that in everything I do. Do you?
Yes, sir.
What we're trying to do, some of us are trying to live up to the expectations of others.
Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you, Brother Hall, I want to live up to the expectations that Brother Hall is set for me. I'm going to tell you, buddy, you better live up to what God tells you in the Bible and not worry about my expectations of what you ought to be. Is anybody listening? God will deliver us from our fears. I want to say secondly, God will deliver us from our frustrations. Look at verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Troubles. Enough troubles are finally frustrated. Fear breeds frustration. And when we're frustrated with the troubles of life, many times we'll come to the end of our rope. And if you're not careful, friend, you pull your hair out by the roots. What are you going to do when you come to the end of your rope? When this thing that you have fought and wrestled and twisted all these months, or some of you have even been wrestling with things for years and you can't settle it in your life. You don't have to tell me a thing. Your faces tell me. When I hit on a particular thought, your expression tells me.
Yes, sir.
Been preaching long enough. And I can look at people's face when I'm preaching and tell a little bit about what's going on down at the home front.
Right.
A little frustrated in the home. I want you to listen to this carefully. The word frustrate means to break or interrupt. It means hence to defeat. It means to disappoint. It means to balk. It means to bring to nothing, as to frustrate a plan, design, or an attempt. I want to ask you tonight, is there anything in your life you planned that hasn't worked out like you thought it ought to? Is there anything in your life tonight that in your mind you sat down before you ever started out in that endeavor and you had a plan of exactly how it ought to be? And it ain't turned out that way. And you've got so frustrated you've got to pull your hair out with the roots, because you can't make your plan, you can't make your life fit your plan. You'd be amazed at people that had a particular idea of what marriage was going to be. Bed of roses, friend, nothing like it. Me and honey together forever, no troubles, no problems. I mean, children come along, and boy, things will be hunky-dory sweet, and the gravy train will run in, and everything will be hunky-dory. And son, it'll be like Cupid's little bow in the heart, and there'll never be a crossword, there'll never be an argument, there'll never be a disagreement. Oh, boy, aren't you in for a surprise tonight? It ain't going to be that way. You're in for a real surprise. My boy, I'm telling you, he's got more grace than I have. All I heard him say, he wanted to build a home. He built a home, 6 months later he sold it. Like Jed Clampett, he packed up what little bit he had and headed for the hills of St. Louis, Missouri. And wasn't there 2 months until that little plan fell flat on his face and he had to head down to Florida. And now of all things, and he gave up his house out there, rented a house here, and now he's going back out there. Coming in Thursday to go back to St. Louis. Plans, ladies and gentlemen, they don't always turn out the way that you thought they would.
Have you ever went to try to borrow money and said, I know what I'll do. I'll borrow this, and I'll pay this, and pay this, and boy, I'll just have this one little payment, and boy, my little plan will work to the T. But when you borrow the money, you squander a little here and a little there and wound up not paying it all. Now you're worse off than what you are. And your plan
didn't matriculate. And now you're frustrated. You're at the end of your rope. What are you going to do when you come to the end of the rope? What are you going to do when Saul is after you and you flee to Gath and the king drives you from his palace door and you flee into the cave in despondency and despair and fear and frustration and you're at the end of the rope? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you've worked all your life on a job? And finally, that job, you either lose it or the place shuts her down or they have a massive layoff and lay you off. And there you work there all your life and you're just a few years away from retirement. And all of a sudden you see that that condo in Florida gone, buddy, and that bass boat and all. Oh, it's all gone, son. I'm going to tell you, dreams and plans go down the drain, son. And if you're not careful, you'll become frustrated because your plans and your dreams didn't work out the way you thought they ought to. I'm sure when David walked down in the valley of Elah and killed Goliath and carried that head to Saul and said, "There it is, king." And the king told Abner, said, "Bring that little stripling into the palace. I want him to be my armor bearer." I'm sure David thought, "Praise God, I got her made now. I'm the king's armor bearer. Besides that, I can play sweet music and calm his spirit. I've got her made." I bet he never dreamed the javelin was just around the corner, that a flight through the wilderness was just a few months away, that a trip into a cave, a cold, dark cave, where he used to sleep in the palace, in the comfort of the palace house, and now he's in a cave. As David lay there that night and God gave him them words, "Oh, David, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and saveth him out." Guarantee you, David in his mind thought, "My God, my dreams and my plans have not worked out." Get these handkerchiefs mixed up. I got them mixed up when I first started preaching. I was blowing snot on one and wiping sweat with the other, and I got them confused and over the drums. And I'm telling you, I was a mess time I got done that mess. Horrible mess. Let me ask you this. Maybe something you've attempted to do and it hasn't turned out right. Or you just knew that this little thing was going to turn out right. It hadn't. And your dream and your plan has been confused and you're frustrated. What about you? Can't make things work like they thought they should. Your life hasn't been lived according to your dream. Or maybe someone hasn't lived up to your expectation. I want you to hear me well. The word trouble in verse number 17 is in the feminine form. And it literally means a female rival. I don't know who David had in mind there. But I'll guarantee you there was a female rival in David's life somewhere down the line. It had him troubled and frustrated. Maybe it was his own wife, Michal, that failed to stand before her daddy for him. Somewhere down the line, there was a female rival that just eat David up alive. I want to say thirdly, and I'm about done. What are you going to do when you come to the end of your rope? God will deliver you from your fears and your frustrations. But I want to say God will deliver us from our feebleness. I like this. Look at verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." That word afflictions means to spoil. It means to break to pieces. It means to make good for nothing. It means to make bad. Are you listening to me? It means to make bad physically, socially, and morally. "Brother Hall, my body is racked with disease and sickness, and I tell you, I'm frustrated over the mess that it's brought me in." What are you going to do when you come to the end of the rope? Those afflictions are in reference to pain and sorrow and agony and agitation. I couldn't help but to think, and I'm just telling you this, and I don't think she'll mind. I couldn't help but to think about Ann. She's been through all these X-rays, and now she's getting ready to be operated on. Don't even know whether that's going to help or not. Are you listening to me? It's frustrating. It's discouraging. I'm in pain, and they say it may not even help. Right.
will I do for income? What will I do for a livelihood?
I'm telling you, there's a lot of things involved in it, Ann. I've thought of my own body. I still don't think they got my disease right. I don't think they got it right. But I come off of that medicine, and I'm going to tell you something Sunday night. A week ago, and then Tuesday night, I was as weak as I couldn't hardly walk when I got home. I've got a problem. And it's frustrating as the devil. Are you listening to me? Some of you don't understand a thing what I'm saying, but you've never been through anything yet. You wait till a disease or a physical problem afflicts your body, and the doctors really don't know what is your problem, but you know there's something wrong. And it's limiting you. It's hurting you. It's bothering you. It's troubling you. And nothing that you take, no medicine seems to help. It is frustrating. And when your body begins to grow weak, and then the thoughts start running around through that little thing, and folks over there, probably even like Ann, the people up there, they're going to look for somebody young to take her place on the job. They don't need it. And I'm just using this now. They don't need some old broken down woman up there. She's not any good for nobody no more. We'll just replace her. It's kind of like old preachers. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you what runs through old preachers' mind. I get a little old and get a little feeble, and my body gets a little racked with disease. I'm going to tell you what that crowd wants to do. They'll just turn me out to pasture, buddy. I'm going to tell you what. Turn me out to pasture. I might jump the fence, son. I'm not your normal pasture sheep. I got deer legs, buddy. I jumped the fence. But am I not right on that? Make you hay. You get feeble physically. You begin to think you're no good to your husband, or no good to your wife. You're no good to society. You're no good to your church anymore. You're just helpless. You're just afflicted, and you're good to nobody. Disease. You feel bad about yourself because you're ill. And you grow frustrated. And then the fear of losing your job and the fear of, hey, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't mind telling you, if I had to go on disability tonight, you know how much money I'd make? $709 a month. Big salary, wouldn't it? I'd barely make a car payment, friend, these days. Everybody listening to me now? You talk about fear and frustration.
What if they don't find it out?
He delivereth.
Woo! Glory to God. God can give. Hey, are you hearing me? God can give bodily strength.
When a pill won't work, the gospel will, buddy. Amen. And I still believe that God can give atonement, give healing in His atonement if He wants to. Better believe He can. Maybe folks get handicapped. Or maybe they get old. And they feel like we're just over the hill, no good to nobody anymore. I wonder how many people feel that way. And I'm old and no good for anybody. You'd be surprised at these poor old souls sitting in these rest homes and folks laying on their back in hospitals whose bodies are racked with some kind of disease, and they're there and they feel like I'm over the hill and I'm no good to anybody. And I'm going to say the problem is today, we care very little about them and very little about the situation, but the fact of the matter is, if we live long enough, we're going to follow it. Every one of us. Brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to be 35 all your life. I asked Brother Crawford the other day, I said, how old are you? And he said, 37. I said, Brother James, you're not even as old as what I was when I come here to pastor.
I was 41 years old when I come here. And I'll be honest, I thought I was over the hill then. Thought I was pretty fortunate to have a church like this to call me at 41. Here I am, 57, still hammering away. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because many, not just every now and then, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivered him out of them all. I think about some of you in here. I think about Brother George with diabetes. Brother George thought he might lose a toe. Somebody said, why not? It ain't your toe, Buckwheat. His toe. Now, if it was your toe, it'd be a different story. Are you listening to me? I thought about Megan. I thought about Miss Kelly. I thought about Cater. I thought about Ann. I thought about Sue. There's some folks in here that's got some real afflictions, ladies and gentlemen. And some of them, it's not because of age either. But we've got a God. Woo! We got a God. David got in that tank full of fear and frustrated, and his foes on his heels. And David said, I've come to the end of my rope. And the Lord said, good, David. Time for you to realize who you serve. I can deliver you. I thought about the handicapped. I thought about what can people that are handicapped do. I just mentioned Sheila Raw. You ever had that, is it cerebral palsy? Is that what they call it? Muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy. Try to sing the best you can. Can't sing on key. Can't sing the tune. And I'm going to tell you, she gives it everything she's got. And in a wheelchair, she's a blessing. Giving God the praise. Are you listening? I thought about Fanny Crosby. Well, somebody said, I can't do anything. I'm handicapped. Fanny Crosby was blind. She's brought great blessings to God's people through songs like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. What are you going to do when you come to the end of the rope? David came to the end of his, and God delivered him from his fears, his frustrations, from his feebleness. And finally, now you get this now. In my text verse, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. All of our foes, all of them. What a God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Saves them. He brings them out. He gives them victory. They overcome. What a God. What are you going to do tonight when you come to the end of your rope? Let's stand together.